So our collect today, the collect for the Feast of the Transfiguration, the collect, that initial prayer that we utter as we begin our worship together, that ties the common thread between the scriptures and all of our words today, our collect today says, ask God, mercifully grant that we, being delivered from the disquietude of this world, may by faith behold the King in his beauty. And isn't that a quaint word, disquietude? Right? Not deliver us from noise or turmoil or conflict. Deliver us from disquietude. Anybody here ever have disquietude in your lives? Right? No one even bothers to raise their hands. We all do. When do we not? There's been some disquietude in my family this year. Some of you have heard about a cancer diagnosis at the beginning of the year. There have been concerns about family health more broadly. I have both children leaving for college in the next few weeks. There's disquietude in all of this, kind of uneasiness, anxiety, worry. Jesus also found lots of disquietude in his life. It seemed like he was always surrounded by noisy crowds who wanted something, demanding from him healing or teaching or words, judging. Jesus was also frequently encountered by religious leaders who were anxious and challenging and testing him, in conflict with him, disquietude. And even among Jesus' disciples, like us, among Jesus' disciples even, there was conflict and kind of jockeying for position and who's going to be first and who's most important. This is what Jesus lived with. And so we read in the Gospels how Jesus often went to a quiet place to pray. He often went to find someplace quiet. And sometimes he might even climb a mountain. Our gospel reading today amuses me because Jesus and his disciples climbed the mountain, and I don't know what the deal is. Maybe the disciples didn't have as much stamina as Jesus or something, because they get up there and Jesus is praying and the disciples they're just kind of tuckered out. They're ready for a nap. They can barely keep their eyes open. They're maybe not bored exactly, but their prayers certainly are not as absorbing for them as for Jesus. And yet, after a while, even the disciples notice something's happening. Something's happening, and our gospel writer, Luke, tells us about it with this strange, figurative, biblical language. He says Jesus' face is glowing, just like Moses' face in our first reading today. Whenever I hear about the Moses encounter with God and how his face glowed and he had to cover it up, I always think of exposure to radioactivity. But Jesus' face is glowing. And it makes me wonder, when's the last time you saw someone's face glowing? Someone's face was aglow with joy or excitement or even the soft glow of contentment. I saw a lot of that yesterday. Jesus is having, was it yesterday? No, it was 2 days ago, Friday. So Jesus' face is glowing, and Jesus is having a face-to-face encounter with Moses and Elijah. Now, when you hear Moses and Elijah mentioned together, right, we're talking about like the two biggest figures in the Old Testament, right? In Jesus' Bible, the disciple of the Bible of the disciples, the Hebrew Bible, Moses and Elijah were the biggest figures there were. And in fact, if you wanted to refer to the entire Hebrew Bible, you might say Moses and Elijah, or the Law and the Prophets. Right? And you just the writings will come along. But Jesus is having this face-to-face encounter with Moses and Elijah, or you might even say he's having a face-to-face encounter with the scriptures incarnate. And when Jesus and the law and the prophets get together, what do they talk about? Well, it says they were talking about Jesus' glorification, which was another way to say Jesus' death and resurrection. That's what the scriptures pointed to. That's what Jesus pointed to. That's the story, the rest of the story that we have received in the Gospels and interpreted in the Acts of the Apostles and in the Epistles. And so we hear this strange story today about how Jesus was praying and God spoke. Now Jesus was praying to God, and you ask, were his prayers effective? Right? What changed? Who changed because of Jesus' prayers? Often we think of prayer as something that is primarily about petitions, asking God to do something. Sometimes we even like to talk about prayer warriors, right? People who have like power with words, almost like magicians. And there's no doubt that God changes the world. And there's no doubt that God answers prayers. And there's no doubt that God invites our petitions and wants us to make them known to him. But in our gospel story today, we're told about one change that happened, and that was Jesus, the person praying, who was himself transfigured. And that makes me wonder, is perhaps the purpose of prayer less to change God or to talk God into something? And maybe is the purpose of prayer more often to change me, to change us, to align our hearts and minds and spirits and wills with God? Is maybe the purpose of prayer to work through my stubbornness and to allow the Holy Spirit to flow through me instead, so that we might be changed, transformed, transfigured? My favorite part of the story, again, is the disciples, because here's Jesus praying and being transfigured. This amazing thing is happening, and the disciples, they're barely even awake, and yet, here they are in the presence of someone praying, and they too are enveloped in the cloud and hear God's voice. I hear in today's gospel reading an invitation to prayer. An invitation to pray, not because I want something or you want something or that we want our way, but an invitation to prayer because we want to be shaped and formed and transfigured by God. And one of the delightful things about prayer and about gathering for prayer, like we do as church, is because that, well, I don't always bring my best. And you might not always bring your best to prayer. And sometimes you might show up just half asleep, like, I just made it in, that's enough. That is enough. Because we gather together, and others are praying, and others are connecting to God and bringing us with them into God's presence. So that together, as community, we might hear the voice of God delivering us from the disquietude of this world, so that by faith we may behold the King in his beauty. Amen. Amen.